No, this is not a rerun. We got a major update as the FBI is closing in on some of the top suspects.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. It's Friday. We'd love to hear from you really on any topic if you want to call in. But more, I'll tell the phone screener to be a little more open-ended today. Let's have some fun here on the phone lines. And look, we've been talking about the FBI for the last few days, and I keep thinking we're going to move on to another topic, but they keep hitting us with another one. Well, as I said yesterday, banger after banger, but this time coming now from Dan Bongino, and now saying, hey, we mentioned those three big issues that we were going to reopen. That was, of course, the drugs found in the White House, which, again, I kind of said that of the concerns, that is my least. Then there was the leaking of the Dobbs decision. To me, that is the most. I would really love some sort of resolution and answers to that one. And then the third being the pipe bombs that were placed during the January 6th situation. Now, these were pipe bombs that were not. Let's go through the background of this, because it's been many years. Many of you may not remember this. They were planted at the RNC, DNC headquarters.
Correct.
Never proven who did it, though there's footage. And these were not really real pipe bombs. There's all these issues with what they actually were.
Yeah, and there's a lot of information in theory out there about whether or not these were... They did not detonate. And then the fact that they didn't detonate and they haven't caught someone. There have been a lot of theories about who that person was. Was this trying to increase more outrage? And were they even real? Were they inert? So there's a lot of discussion, especially on X and places like that, about why this is kind of this mystery and why it's been allowed to linger. But Dan Bongino, in this interview with Fox, said that they are closing in on some suspects. We should take a listen and hear it from him. Bite three.
We had to fix it and rebuild public trust. One of the ways to do it is these cases of significant public interest that matter. You know, we had two pipe bombs planted on January 6th. I mean, we were told by partisan actors out there, this was the insurrection, the world was going to fall apart, and no one seemed to show any interest in this case. The second we got in, I put a team on it, and I said, I want answers on this, and I'm pretty confident that we're closing in on some suspects.
I feel like this was a forgotten part of this entire, I mean, I hadn't been thinking about this in years. So when he reopened this and now says they think that they are closing in on suspects after just a few weeks of it being open, I think that is something that should be, look, it should be looked at to see why was it closed in the first place if it was so theoretically easy, if you will. I mean, of course, it's not easy, but it wasn't some aggressive amount of time. It wasn't years and years to find these suspects. What's that going to look like? Phone lines are open for you. What do you think? 1-800-684-3110. This also is when the sort of a media week, it feels like, for the FBI, as you've seen Cash Patel and Dan Bongino making a lot of these appearances, somewhat, I'm sure, to soften some of your thoughts as they know that there's some negativity surrounding their department right now due to what people feel like have been delays when it comes to things like the Jeffrey Epstein files, or the issues that came upon from the Kennedy files. A lot of things that happened that the FBI was getting a bit of a bad rap once again, but now you have them coming up trying to not only clean that up, but say, okay, you may not get exactly what you want from those topics right now, but here's some stuff we can at least give you.
That's right. And we also know that Dan Bongino put out on X that, we appreciate your support. I will be adding a few more interviews in the coming weeks so I can take additional questions and provide updates. In the next segment, I think we should dive into this a little bit more because he and Cash Patel were kind of less interview friendly. They weren't going out there doing as much media as maybe others in the cabinet, but now we're starting to see this shift and why this calculated approach is now coming out.
Yep, that's right. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air today. I want to hear from you about all these topics and more. If you got something for us, I'd love to hear from you. All lines are open right now, again, at 1-800-684-3110. I also encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. We'll tell you why here coming up in the next segment. We got some big updates on life that are happening today. Welcome back to Seculo. As I said, phone lines are open, and a bunch of you are just joining us right now, so we need to restate what's going on. We can see that, obviously, on YouTube, on Rumble. And hey, as I've always told you, about half of you who watch on this channel don't subscribe. It's a great free way to support the ACLJ, support the work we do here. Just hit subscribe. Helps get some more people's feeds. If you've already done that, hit that thumbs up. Of course, we can talk about all the great reasons you should support the work of the ACLJ. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit, because today we are filing a federal lawsuit in Ohio on behalf of our clients who have faced criminal prosecution for defending life in front of an abortion clinic. We won in court getting the charges dismissed, but the law needs to be dealt with. So that's what we're dealing with right now. That is just some of the breaking news that's coming out of the ACLJ world. But of course, we know a lot of you tune in. A lot of you tune in to hear what's going on in the world and to get our opinions. And Will, this was an update coming from Dan Bongino. We have to kind of, again, reframe what the FBI is. I think from so many years now, we've thought of the FBI as, maybe a little corrupt, maybe having some issues. And I think it's been difficult for people as they've seen the red tape to get through it. And you saw Kash Patel and Dan Bongino both saying, hey, we found out there's a lot of good people working behind the scenes here. A lot of good people who really want the FBI to be doing the job that they said they were going to do. A lot of people came to work here for the right reasons. So we're going to try to get that back on track. And one of those is to reopen three cases. And the one they said today that looks like they may have some suspects already lined up was the pipe bombs that were planted in January in 2021 at both the Republican and the Democratic headquarters, the RNC and the DNC headquarters. These were not detonated. It became a minor story. But really, when you look at it, it should be one of those stories where, like you said, well, if they were able to identify so many people in the crowd, people who are not celebrities, go to their houses and all this. So you have someone who planted bombs, video footage, I believe, of them planting the bombs. But we don't know who they are. It sounds like the Bongino group has a pretty good idea who they are, and they're going to be making some changes.
That's right. And once again, these were actual explosive devices. These are pipe bombs that were placed for political reasons at political targets. That is terroristic activity. You would think that the FBI would have put all of their resources on that instead of maybe some of the people that got scooped up in the January 6th prosecutions that were just on the mall, things of that nature. They were able to go after and target with cell phone records and find where people were. And then they created this entire narrative of domestic violent extremist out of what happened that day. And they used that narrative for years to go after conservatives and conservative speech. They weaponized to some degree January 6th to their own advantage by using that to then go after and suppress speech. There's a interview I saw with Tulsi Gabbard where she talked about how far that went with the weaponizing and turning people into domestic violent terrorist or extremist tag that they were using against people just for political beliefs, not even for any action. So when you think about how far they took that line, someone that was there in D.C. on January 6th and placed bombs, that didn't seem to fit their narrative for some reason. And I think that's why it opened so many questions to so many people, including Dan Bongino. This was something he, in his broadcasting capacity, was very focused on, because to him, it didn't pass the smell test. He knows the capabilities of federal law enforcement. He knows how serious it is when there are pipe bombs placed right somewhere. And yet that side of the story was kind of swept under the rug. So there's a little bit of a passion project, I think, for him there. But at the end of the day, we're going to see where it goes from here. And hopefully they can get some answers and resolve that so it isn't a lingering question. So there aren't more conspiracy theories that combine and grow out of the inaction of the Bureau.
Yeah, and this comes obviously on the heels of the James Comey seashell mess that really brought a lot of this back into the news, that brought sort of FBI corruption back into the news. That whole, I'm just a simple grandpa who was walking around the beach, saw a shell formation and thought, oh, look, they're sharing their political views. It's really cool. It's really fun to share this on Instagram. Of course, not knowing and saying he doesn't know what they are, saying that he doesn't know what 86 means. Let's go ahead and take a call about that. John's in California on line one. You're on the air, John.
Yeah, okay. My comment about Comey is there's proof that he lied. He's the top cop. The 1086 code is a police code. Like 10-4 is acknowledged, 10-9 is location. No, 10-9 is comeback, 10-20 is location, 10-100 is bathroom. 1086 is death. So it's absolutely absurd that the top cop in America doesn't know the police code's 1086 is death. That's the proof. Call me live.
John, I think that the man certainly hasn't been the most forthcoming and the most truthful over the years. So I don't really find anything he says to have credibility. He'll play that sort of aw shucks person, but we know, Will, that's not really what we're dealing with. You're dealing with someone who's trying to get some press right now.
Right. I mean, this is the man who tried to present this Boy Scout image of himself and the aw shucks, as you said, and even the folksy way he would talk mm-hmm. about, well, Lordy, I hope there's tapes. All of these things that he would say, and then he writes the book, A Higher Loyalty. And he positions himself, and in his mind, it seems, I'm not actually able to peer inside the mind of James Comey, but in his mind, it seems like he truly believes that he is the beacon of morality and right and wrong in the United States of America and the world, or else he would go away. He would just stop weighing in on these things. But instead, he thinks that whatever he says is like gospel truth about morality in America and the way this country should operate. And it's not just someone giving political opinions that goes on TV and is aggressive or is very firm in their beliefs. The way he talks, that slow cadence, and the way he almost talks down to people, like in that interview where he talked about Kash Patel, it's like, you almost feel bad for him. He finally caught the car and now he has to drive it. Yeah. It's so demeaning.
He's been barking at the car.
It's so demeaning. And that just shows the self-importance he gives himself. It is quite repulsive, actually.
Yeah, phone lines are open. I want to hear your thoughts as well. We're going to go actually in the next segment to my brother Jordan, who is right now in Hungary. He'll give us a big update of what's going on, why the ACLJ team and the ECLJ team is there and has been there for the last few days, and what the next step is on their journey across Europe, because there's a lot going on around the world. I think we can become very isolated in America, and look, I understand the America first mentality, but that doesn't mean America only. There's a lot of people with beliefs similar to yours that need representation as well, outside of the continental United States, outside of Hawaii and Alaska, that need support. And that's why we started the ECLJ decades ago at this point, 25 plus years ago. Because we knew that there was going to be some of these same issues that were going to come out of Europe. And we've seen ebbs and flows, just like America, where there's been ups and downs. There's been more conservative Christians. There's been a more liberal-leaning groups. There have been uprising in atheism, and then a revival happened across Europe. So right now, I think you may be seeing an upswing of that. It's pretty cool. We're going to discuss that coming up with Jordan in the next segment. But also, as I said, we are fighting for life right now really strongly. I'd say in a way that maybe a lot of you didn't expect after the overturning of Roe with the Dobbs decision. And as we wrap up the month of May, I did want to share news on a few of our fights for life, because I know it's important to you, it's important to me. We've been fighting for so long in this category, really since the very founding of the organization. But we know today, and this is just today, we have filed that's how new this is. Since they printed out the information sheet for me here, the ACLJ has went from planning to doing. They are filing a federal lawsuit today, the ACLJ legal team in Ohio, on behalf of our client. You may remember they faced criminal charges, was being attacked for defending life in front of an abortion clinic. Again, it feels like something from the 80s and the 90s, but no, it's still happening. We won in court in getting their charges dismissed. However, the law stayed on the books. So now, well, we have to take it and get the law changed.
That's right. And that's exactly what we're doing. If you remember, we had Zach Knotts, the client, on the show a couple weeks ago and heard his story and what he did when he would go to this clinic to just advocate for life, to advocate for real choice for the mothers, that they don't have to go in and end the life like these clinics that monetize the death of children would have you want to do. We were able, with our great legal team, to get that thrown out. The prosecution caved on it, But now we understand that these ordinances are being weaponized against conservative speech, against pro-life speech. They didn't do anything to the clinic escorts that were playing loud music and using cowbells and noisemakers. So it was really just a biased usage of the law, of this ordinance, to discriminate against pro-life speech. They can't have it that way. And that's why we're going to federal court with this lawsuit to get rid of this ordinance so that they can't weaponize it against conservatives and pro-life Americans.
That's right. Hey, like I said, ACLJ.org to support the work of the ACLJ. Do it today. You become an ACLJ champion. That's a recurring member. Know that really helps us out. Set a great baseline. But phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. When we get back, Jordan's going to be joining us from Hungary, and we're going to continue on. Welcome back to Seculo. Jordan is joining us, Jordan Seculo, right now in Hungary. Jordan, I want you to start off and just tell us why you're there and what's going on. I want to let our audience also know that obviously we're connected to Jordan in Hungary, so there may be some slight delays, but just, you know, deal with that as it is part of the nature of dealing with international calling. But Jordan, give us an update of why you're there and what's happening.
Sure. So we're in Budapest, and we're with our ECLJ team, which is headquartered, of course, in Strasbourg, France, but oversees all of Europe. And they've done a lot of work with someone who has become very well known to, I think, conservatives in America, Prime Minister Viktor Orban. And he had invited us to participate in an event here, kind of like a CPAC, but in Hungary, and also attend some private events with him so that we could get to know him better, because our team at the ECLJ has worked with Prime Minister Orban over the last decade that he's been in office. And it's interesting because a lot of people say he is very similar to President Trump, but he actually predates President Trump and taking kind of a Hungary first approach, even though they are part of the European Union. To give you a couple of interesting examples, Hungary has the lowest unemployment right now in the EU. It also has the safest cities. I mean, I my kids are here with me, and I have not been to a European city in a decade that feels this safe. And I'm not just the only person saying that. Everyone I'm with, including our team from France, says the same thing. Not only that, the cleanliness, and it's not a forced cleanliness like kind of Germany can be sometimes. It's actually people that have pride in their city, taking care of their country. But here's what is so kind of upsetting. The European Union is trying to remove leaders like Viktor Orban. So we are working with him to ensure that when he has re-election, his new election in April, that the rest of Europe isn't able to flood Hungary with foreign money to get rid of this really one of two lone conservatives in the EU. You also have, of course, Prime Minister Meloni in Italy. But Viktor Orban, I mean, a great example, guys. They have to pay a 1 million euro a day fine. That's about $1.5 million a day to the European Union because they don't allow illegal immigration across their borders. $1.5 million US dollars a day to the European Union that they are a member of, that's supposed to be an economic partnership, because they're not going to allow their country be overwhelmed by people who don't speak the language, who can't work, who would crash the social welfare system. And it's so great to be in a European country where we're welcomed. I mean, where we're not the opposition, but we're actually in charge, and you feel that. So you hear a lot about God and patriotism and freedom, and this idea of freedom of speech that is under attack in places like Germany. For instance, we weren't just with Prime Minister Orban, but the head of the Alternative for Germany party, which condemned as a terrorist organization in Germany because they happen to have beliefs on lower taxes and, again, a stronger Germany that isn't going to change so much demographically because of the amount of immigration they've allowed in from around the world of people who aren't assimilating. And we've seen the Islamic radicalism, which thankfully we haven't experienced as much in the United States, is kind of raging in Europe still. I mean, you all know that, and I think most of our listeners know that. So Hungary is the example of what Europe can be if you take on the model of what the United States has done just in the first 160 days of President Trump's administration by closing our southern border. that how much safer you can make our communities and how much crime you can take off the streets. So we have to ensure that these leaders and others who are running in Europe not only have a fair chance, but aren't basically thrown out by wealthy globalists who want to, you know, put an influx of money into their country and say, you need to get rid of these leaders because we won't invest in your country if you don't. And that doesn't sound very much, you know, a democratic process at all. And it just shows you that we are the shining city on the hill for the whole world. But that we can have real allies who love us and that we can love back in a region which, again, we're bordering Ukraine here. That's in very difficult situations. And so this is just the beginning of our trip working with our ECLJ team. I will tell you guys, we've got some big announcements coming next week that outside of Hungary that I can't tell you about yet, but I will be able to tell you next week when I'm back in our studio in Strasbourg. So we're going to be all over Europe. But I think what we've saw with this event is why it's worth, as ACLJ members, also investing in the ECLJ to make sure there's election integrity in Europe so that we have good allies and there's other beacons of freedom around the world. And it's sad to say that, but inside the European Union, where you're not going to get arrested because of what you put on X. And right now that's happening in the UK and Germany. If you retweet something that causes someone anxiety, you can be arrested right now in the United Kingdom.
Jordan, as you are there working, and we only have about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left here, but the difference you're seeing, you've been working with the ECLJ for your entire career, and the ECLJ has been in Europe for decades. Are you feeling anything different? Because it sounds like when you're going to Hungary, you're hearing like-minded Europeans, and I feel like that's not something we've experienced really as the ECLJ, but now it seems like there is this American-style conservatism that's bubbling up in Europe.
And Hungary just happens to be kind of the headquarters for it because it's the safe place to come if you're in an opposition party. So we were with leaders from Poland, leaders from Germany, obviously the Prime Minister of Georgia, the Prime Minister of Slovakia. These are countries like Hungary and leaders that are pro-life. I mean, we're not just talking about conservative in the kind of general sense in America. We're talking about conservatives like you and me and our ACLJ supporters. And I will tell you, Will, it's taken decades, and people have known this who followed our work since we started in Europe, to find really kind of like political homes where there's actually elected officials we want to help and assist with. And I've got to give huge credit to our European team who have stuck this out to fight for their own countries and their own region of the world so that they can again be those allies of the United States and those other shining places of freedom and true democracy. And they're all working together. And so have we ever seen it like this before? No. And so what do you have to do? Seize on those moments. And that's why we need people's support. You can donate to the ACLJ. Some of that support goes to the ECLJ. And that's going to be helping make sure that these elections where conservatives have a chance, make sure that they're on the ballot, make sure that they're treated fairly, and that the global elitists, you know, the Soros world, the big liberal funding doesn't come in with billions of dollars and the European Union's help to push them out. Because you don't get this chance every year or every 20 years. This is kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity to change the direction of Western Europe for good. And if people came to Hungary, they would talk to the people and see how much things have improved here in a country that was under communist rule until 1989.
Jordan, thanks for joining us again live from Hungary and now moving his way across Europe in support and working with our ECLJ team. That's the European Center for Law and Justice. And we head into break. I encourage you to say a prayer for his team, say a prayer for the ECLJ team. Know that it is, just as Jordan said, a big of fight going on over there as it is here. We can't forget our Christian brothers and sisters all around the world. And of course, our friends in Israel, and of course, the unborn. Something we got to be fighting for all over this planet, not just within the walls of America. And we know it's hard to kind of think about, but we encourage you to do it. We encourage you to go to aclj.org and be a part of that journey with us. Become a champion if you can. That's a recurring donor. We got second half hour coming up in the broadcast. You'll get us on your local station. Find us broadcasting now at aclj.org, on YouTube or Rumble.
Keeping you informed and engaged.
now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Phone lines are open for you as we head into this second half hour of Seculo. Thanks for joining us. My brother Jordan Seculo was just on the show live from Europe. And next up in the next segment, Rick Grinnell's going to be joining us. We're going to keep that conversation going, keep updated. I'm going to take a call right off the top here. We go to an ACLJ champion. You know, someone who you know I've been talking about the last few days. So we're going to see how this goes. Pat, you are on the air from California.
Oh, it begins. How wonderful. I'm so glad. I just want to start by thanking the screeners who have to put up with chuckleheads like me. And you, Logan, and Will, and Mike Pompeo, and Rick, and of course, Tracy, and your and Harry, and your dad, of course. We've been supporters since the 90s. I think when he was with the 700 Club, we started supporting. And we just really appreciate all your hard work. And I know I like to nudge you guys a little bit. But, you know, you had me nervous there for a little bit. I was wondering, I was more nervous than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I mean, I thought, these guys aren't going to take my call. But, yeah, I just wanted to say thank you, and God bless you guys, and we'll continue to pray for you.
I appreciate you calling in. Yeah, you're on hold for about 20 minutes, and I appreciate that. But you are the first call, I believe, that we took, because ACLJ champions get bumped to the front. Even sometimes, Will, if they could be a little bit mean in the chat sometimes. Maybe you're a little criticizing us, Pat, but you know what? I'm not going to hold that against you. I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you. Please call in again. Support the work of the ACLJ. I appreciate it. I even looked up your file, and you were right. You've been given for a very long time. So I thank you for that, and I thank you for calling. And if you are like Pat, you've been supporting the ACLJ for a long time, I want to encourage you to call in as well. Maybe you have a story. You know, we're heading into a pretty big anniversary coming up, just to tease what we're going to be doing this summer. I'd love to hear from you of your ACLJ stories. I was on a podcast the other day, and it was just about Christian music. We were having a lot of fun, and then the host told me, hey, when I was a teenager, your dad flew out and helped us because we were trying to build a big cross to take into our school, and your dad came out and made sure that could happen. We were getting shut down. That's when we were teenagers, and this guy is very successful. He's a weatherman in a local market in California, as a Christian radio show host. So we hear these stories all the time. And Pat, I want to say thank you for calling. I'll try to forgive and forget some of the mean things you've said about me over the years. One of them I'll never forget. You know, I'm just going to bring it up, Will.
I mean, it's
there's
seared in
one
our brains.
That I will, I've even told my kids this one. So you know what? You know when you say stuff in the chat, know that sometimes it can affect human beings. And that was a couple weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago. Pat said that my dad, who used to host this show, he was spring water, as fresh as spring water. And then my brother Jordan, who was just on the show a few segments ago, he was like bottled water, you know, like a little bit down. But then Logan was, and I'm holding it right here, Logan was tap water. So you know what?
Fortunately, he left me off of that.
You didn't get one of there.
I'm vapor.
Tap water Jones right here for you. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. Pat, you know, I couldn't let you off the hook that easy, but I appreciate your support.
That was a very kind call.
Sure. Yeah. All right. And we are going to keep going. We're going to talk with Rick, Will, about what? Because what's happening right now?
That's right. So today is the final day of Elon Musk's special government employee status, and he and the president are going to have a joint send-off ceremony, a little press conference here coming up. But there's already some talk from some Democrats about what they want to do if they get back the majority in the House. And so we're going to get Rick's take on it. It seems like they haven't decided to let the lawfare angle and tactic of theirs go quite yet. So we'll talk with Rick about that, what he thinks about it, and the end of the Elon Musk era as the head of Doge, even though Doge will continue.
All right, we're going to talk about that with Rick Grinnell coming up. And then after that, I want to hear from you. And right now, I'll be honest, it's Friday. We got 6 lines open. Pat was our only caller. So you know what? If you've ever wanted to be on the radio, I don't know, maybe you got some wild things to say, give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. Keep it between the, between the buoys, if you will, in terms of language and things. But we'll get a little wild here. We'll take some more calls and comments coming up. Rick Grinnell will be joining us. We'll be right back. Grinnell, but a lot of comments and calls are coming in. We still got a few lines open at 1-800-684-3110. I almost forgot the phone number, Will. You know how many times I've said that phone number? If you probably counted it, I would guess.
It's on the screen right there.
I would
there
guess
below.
Millions of times I've said it.
I know.
Man, we got a lot of good comments coming in after that. Look, one person, Will, I just wanted, you said that he didn't give you one water. One person said maybe your bath water, but
which is gross.
And there was another comment that came in. Oh, where is it? It said that they like that I host.
I love
Logan hosting the show. Hope Logan sees this. I do. Will, I'm glad you're on too.
That was very kind. Just, yeah, thanks.
You're happy to be here. They're just like,
I'm the afterthought. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, so that is what it is. We're having some fun here on a Friday. Look, we're all headed into the weekend. It's a weird week. You know, I've been one of those people who always says, I hate Monday holidays. And it's controversial. It's a controversial topic. What do you think? How do you feel about Monday holidays?
Call 1-800-684-3110.
I'm a fan of a Friday holiday. I think federal holidays should move to Fridays. Because Friday, long weekend, I got 4 days to get my work done. I can cram stuff in. Monday, it just throws off my week, and all of a sudden, I'm dealing with catching up for 4 days.
Yeah.
So I am against the Monday holiday. I would like it to be replaced with the Friday holiday. We should put that up as a poll question on YouTube. Would you be more of a fan? And maybe this guy can handle it for us. Maybe he can get it done. We got him? Yeah, Rick Grinnell is joining us. Rick, thanks for coming on today. It is a big day in Washington, D.C., it seems, as sort of the big farewell send-off, Will, of Elon Musk today in the Doge department, and a lot more going on.
That's right, Rick. I wanted to get your take on this because while Elon Musk's tenure as a special government employee is wrapping up, something we knew, the media is obviously trying to make a bigger deal out of that than it probably is in reality. But a Democrat from Virginia was on MSNBC with Simone Sanders and had this to say about what their goal is if they retake the House. Let's play bite one.
What are Democrats going to do about the data? Are you all going to follow up on this? What's your take on Elon Musk being done? Because I just think he's finished. He's just finished what he was doing. Actually, he's finished. He's not done because they still got the data.
Yeah, I heard he's on some image repair tour. I think the best way for him to repair his image is to reverse all the damage he did to our government, to the American people. And yeah, those servers are a big issue. We want to continue to investigate that. And certainly, I think some crimes may have been committed over the past 3 or 4 months, and they are going to come to light. One way or another, we're going to come to light, even if it takes us getting into power again. But we will subpoena people and find out.
So it sounds like, Rick, that they're going to try the old lawfare angle again and try to go after Elon Musk if they retake power in the House.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is crazy. The Democrats seem to be irate and bothered by the fact that we're trying to save money. They don't want accountability. You know, you just look at the spending that's happened post-COVID, and you see that Washington, D.C. and the politicians there have ballooned spending. This is out of control spending. And so we need a disruptor like Elon Musk. We need somebody who says, no, stop spending and wasting. Again, we have a $37 trillion national debt. Washington, D.C. spends more than they have. And so when you hear that cuts are coming or, you know, the sky is falling because of budget cuts, don't believe it. What we have to be able to do is have people like Elon Musk who step up, who risk a lot, whose reputation is damaged because they get messy and they get into the details and they're the ones who are cutting. You look at Donald Trump and Elon Musk, they both have lost money and damage their reputations by trying to come in and control the bureaucracy in Washington and to control government spending. Thank God we have both of them.
Yeah, Rick, you brought up your sort of distaste that I think a lot of us have for Washington, D.C., and really how things, when you get under the hood, if you will, you really see things, how they're running, how vicious it can be, how honestly bureaucratic and red tape it can be, getting stuff done, getting things changed. It's a lot harder than people expect. And you may have seen that coming from, you know, President Trump the first go around. You may have seen it from Elon Musk feeling like, hey, I've run these successful businesses for decades, but for some reason I can't get into the federal government and actually make the changes I want to make. Now, obviously both of them have made some pretty big swooping changes, but I'm sure you've seen that it is a little bit harder and a little bit different than running a business.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you have a city, and I think I've said this on this program before. You have a city in Washington, D.C., where everybody, the media, the lobbyists, the bureaucrats, the politicians, every person who is influential in that city wants a bigger budget because that means their city is getting better. It's hard to go into Washington and deal with the Washington people and say, hey, you all need to give up your spending. You need to have a less powerful city. You need to have smaller budgets. Most people there are going to say, no, this is our city. They live there. They go to school there all together. Their kids go to school together. They go to church all together. They are, whether they're Republicans or Democrats or the media or lobbyists or bureaucrats, they all want Washington, D.C. to get bigger and stronger. It is the responsibility of those of us outside of Washington, D.C. to send in people like Elon Musk, like Donald Trump, outsiders who say, you know what, you people here are out of control. You're taking too much of our money. We got to peel you back. Now, again, the media attention on people like that is going to be to crush them, to attack them, to cancel them. And so you need strong people who will go in and take the hits and get the media headlines that they're disrupting Washington, D.C. It is the responsibility of the rest of us to support those people who go into the lion's den and fight the fight. Don't listen to the headlines. Support the people that are doing drastic changes. And we have to fix this country by prioritizing the budget.
And I think that that's what conservatives have been calling for and asking for a long time, for the entire generation of Republican lawmakers. I think at least to some degree would argue that's what they believe in. But it does seem that with the D.C. class, once the real tough work of putting the pen to paper gets there, it all of a sudden becomes a lot harder for them to actually live up to what their promises are. And I think that's what's been so revealing about what DOGE has been able to do, is it's opened up this conversation, if nothing else. I mean, it has already identified tons and tons of waste, fraud, and abuse and helped save the United States money. But even opening this conversation more than just like the pork reports that you'll see once a year and the outrageous spending, this has become a viral moment for how bad government spending is and how bad waste, fraud, and abuse is. And I hope that the American people can pressure their representatives to do the right thing through their power as lawmakers, because at the end of the day, Congress has to get on board too, and we need to see courage from Republicans to be able to make some of these things that are happening from DOGE permanent way America does operates their house.
Yeah, look, I think also there is an expectation that it's just Republicans versus Democrats, and we can't do that. There are some Republicans who want bigger budgets and bigger spending in Washington, too. And there are some Democrats who want to cut the budget and save money. What we have a responsibility, those of us outside of Washington, is to support the people who are bravely trying to shrink Washington and to defeat those that go there and make excuses, who don't want to cut, who say, you know, we can't afford to make these cuts, because we're literally trying to stop the growth, and they're acting like we're cutting, you know, the whole program when we try to cut the growth.
Rick, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm sure we'll hear from you next week. We always appreciate it. For those listening right now, we don't have incredible voices like Rick Grinnell on this show without you. If you support the work of the ACLJ, know you are also supporting not just the legal work, but this media team. It's an incredible media team for the people running behind the scenes, people doing cameras right now, the guys who are the phone screeners, the producers, they're all doing incredible work here. And we couldn't have it without you. And of course, we couldn't have great members on the team like Rick Grinnell, who can come in with expert advice. You know, former directors of national intelligence, ambassadors around the world, current special envoys, you know, running the Kennedy Center. This is someone who can bring in expert opinions whenever we need it. And that is because of you. So I'm going to encourage you, if you like the work of the ACLJ, Obviously, if you like our legal work, we appreciate it. Go to aclj.org and make a donation. But if you like this broadcast and you're like, hey, how can I help support this show? You can donate today at aclj.org and become an ACLJ champion. That's a recurring monthly donor. The ACLJ and this broadcast are not funded by corporate sponsors. We are not funded by, you know, the mass majority of them are not major donors. They're mostly like people like you who say, you know what, I really want to support it. Here's $25 a month, something like that. You can do it. You can become an ACLJ champion at any level from $5 and up. It's only a $5 minimum because of some processing fees and things like that. So I encourage you to scan that QR code. Consider giving as we head into another week and another month, big month of June. Because today, like I said, we are in court. You're filing a federal lawsuit on behalf of pro-life activists. We are always there for you at aclj.org. We'll be right back with your calls and comments. Welcome back to Seculo. We are going to take your phone calls. We got a few lines open still. 1-800-684-3110. If you want to call in, it's a great time to do it. We kind of said, well, it'd be open-ended. Anyone could call in with pretty much any topic, and we'd be happy to
entertain it. I feel like we've answered everything for them today.
I think so, because it's not like we look, there's a lot of people watching.
There are.
There's a lot of people watching.
Good numbers.
But they don't want to call in. They don't want to be heard. It's fine. Let's go to Ray, though. He does. Ray's listening on SiriusXM. He's calling from Texas. Ray, go ahead.
Hello there. I just, as you're talking about things that just kind of went away, like the FBI investigating the pipe bombs and such like that, it occurred to me that there was a story sometime back, not too long, about all these drones flying over New Jersey, and the media seemed to be real interested in it, particularly like Fox News and such, and then suddenly there was no talk about it at all, and I wondered if that was ever resolved. And if I may add just one more question, has there been a reduction in the number of abortions in the United States since Roe v. Wade was overturned?
We can pull those numbers up and see. I think there certainly has been, specifically in the states where it has become more and more restricted. So I believe in those states, some of them are virtually zero at this point. In a state like we're in Tennessee, where it's pretty much, you know, very little exceptions to those rules. So we can find out those numbers for you. There was resolution to the drone thing that happened in New Jersey, but you are right that it was like the number one story and then it wasn't. It just sort of disappeared and we decided, oh, it's not a big deal. It's nothing. And the answer was a little less than you hoped for, because they weren't being truthful to begin with.
That's right. And so Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary for the White House, early in the administration, yeah, like, I think it was the first week. January 28th is the date of this article. I pulled it up. She said, after research and study, the drones that were flying over New Jersey in large numbers were authorized to be flown by the FAA for research and various other reasons. Many of these drones were also hobbyist, recreational, and private individuals that enjoy flying drones. She also added, in time, it got worse due to curiosity. This was not the enemy. So when you hear that, one, it was a stark shift from where the Biden administration had been, because they just kind of threw their hands up and didn't say anything.
It's nothing.
Now, if the Biden administration had said that early, it probably would have gone away and not become a big story. But because it got so big, and then the answer was just kind of like, it's a lot of them. And it did kind of leave some people with like, well, you got to have a little bit more you can tell us about that.
It reminded me of the, we're not going to the, you know, the Kamala Harris had not been to the border.
Mm-hmm.
And then like they had brought it up so many times, they kept not going. Then it almost became a trend to be like, well, she's not going to go. I mean, inevitably she went kind of, but saying, you know, it was very similar, which is you push them. And now all of a sudden it becomes politics, like a political talking point where these drones in New Jersey, it was ridiculous. Hopefully, Ray, that helps answer your question. Let's go.
Well, he also had the question about abortions. And there have been, I know that Planned Parenthood's annual report that they put out showed that they had increased the number of abortions they had performed year over year. And that's even with clinics going
out of business.
And I think that to some degree, one, it disproves their narrative that overturning Roe ends abortion in the country. But you need states to then do the work. But also, this is interesting, Logan, because someone in our digital team pointed out to me this week, they put out a release against the portion of the Big Beautiful Bill that defunds Planned Parenthood. And in it, they say that explicitly that passing this bill will lead to less abortions. So by defunding Planned Parenthood, it will lead to less abortions. But abortion is not supposed to be paid for with federal dollars. So they say the quiet part out loud, and they even try to say because it's an ideological attack on Planned Parenthood and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But they're like admitting
another shell game.
If we defund Planned Parenthood, it will decrease abortion in America. So they admit it right there through their press release, Planned Parenthood Action, that is what they're concerned about with defunding Planned Parenthood.
All right, Kathy's calling in California. Watch it on Rumble. Go ahead, Kathy.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for what you do.
Hello.
George, Logan, I wanted to tell you that my brother and my sister were arrested. They were with Operation Rescue in the late 80s. And I just love your dad. And he was just there for people when we needed that.
Absolutely.
And is still there. But what I was calling about is because, you know, Elon's disappointment over the big, beautiful bill and the lack of cuts. And we know that, you know, in Congress, there's a lot of haggling about the budget and expenditures. And I feel like that Trump's biggest thrust was immigration, energy, you know, just things that taxes that immediately affect the voters, to have them feel, you know, the experience that he's trying to create this golden age. And then I still think they could do something with the budget later. But a lot of people, my own husband is like, oh, you know, they missed an opportunity. But I feel like they just know, Trump knows after Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell played him in his first term, and he only got military money and they didn't do a lot of things he needed them to do, that he just has to make the big thrust for what's the most key stuff that people will experience and feel.
Kathy, real quick, before we answer your question or comment, I want you to stay on hold when you're done here, because we are trying to reach out to people who have been directly impacted by the ACLJ and the work. It sounds like your family was. Number one, how I love hearing those stories. So stay on hold when we're done chatting. I want to see if we can get your contact, because it may be we're able to reach out and we're putting together a pretty cool piece that maybe your family could be a part of. But Will, I know that you had something to say on this.
Well, and that's what the media is trying to say. It's like, oh, look, Elon's leaving. He's mad about the big, beautiful bill. They have disagreement. They're making it seem, though, as if having policy differences, which they don't understand this, because the Democrat Party, if you have a policy difference, you're ostracized, you're kicked out. Look at Tulsi Gabbard. They have no home. Look at RFK Jr. But in reality, on the conservative side, there are plenty of people with policy differences. And just because his special government employee status is ending and he may have disagreements on policy issues doesn't mean that all of a sudden they hate each other and they'll never speak to each other again and they don't agree about the core mission. And Congress is a difficult institution to deal with, especially these days. So a spending bill is going to be tough, because what is Congress addicted to? Spending money.
Money.
So it's got to be, it's like what we talked about with Rick. It's got to be this viral moment, I think, where the entire country is demanding change, not just our pocket of ideological views on spending, but the entire country has to really understand what's going on and be demanding change from Congress to get really big things done.
Absolutely.
And I don't think we're there yet, but we need to be.
Yep. Thanks for calling, everyone. Thanks for supporting the work of the ACLJ as we head to the end of this month of May. I wanted to share again many news pieces for you, including our fight for life. We've been fighting, but we need your support. If you can donate today, here's just a few of them. Read them off here. There are states that are trying to defund Planned Parenthood. We filed in the U.S. Supreme Court the battle in the states. Now, a new bill also just passed the House to defund Planned Parenthood. We just sent a demand letter, urgent letter to the Senate, because this is the closest we've ever been. And today, we are filing a federal lawsuit in Ohio on behalf of our client. We won in court, getting their charges dismissed as they were protesting out in front of an abortion clinic. But the law still stands, and it needs to be dealt with. And it can't be dealt with without your support. So I encourage you, as we head into this weekend, donate today at ACLJ.org. Become a champion if you can. We'll talk to you next week.